Robin, part two, people. Here we go. And we got some activity right here at the start. We're going to be calling somebody who I understand is most excited to be interviewed, a 105-year-old Cubs fan.
Oh, wow.
Who, if he was just 3 years older, would have witnessed, well, as a six-month-old or a couple-month-old baby, the Cubs' last championship.
But babies love baseball.
Yeah, they do. They love baseball. They love crowds.
Airplanes, like flying.
Yeah. They love all that stuff.
Did you see Dingle's tweet yesterday, like after the game?
You told me about it.
Something along the lines of, and no, I didn't see their last championship, so don't ask.
John Dingle just throwing a whopper out there.
I'm sure it wasn't him that tweeted it, but still. He's had some Twitter moments, hasn't he?
Yeah.
I thought he's had some funny ones Dingle. In the past.
For an old geezer.
Way to go, Dingle.
It's funny, until he shows up in the news, I think of him as being dead.
Me too.
I know, it's ridiculous.
So does he.
But his
You're
wife...
not dead?
His wife is, she won his seat, which to me is just such a, doesn't it show you what a joke politics and those jobs are? Mm-hmm. If you die or something happens to you, your spouse can just take the job over.
Yep.
No problem.
That's horribly inappropriate. Although Debbie Dingle is
preposterous.
She worked in politics, but still.
If that would have been true, then Hillary would have killed Bill.
Yeah, true.
Long time ago.
It's funny, the Secret Service book that came out that was talking about her, saying, fuck you, when they said good morning to her.
Right,
some of the recent revelations. He acted like, well, not really that strongly, but he implied that they actually had to express concern over Hillary hurting the president.
Right.
Because he came out with a black eye one morning.
Oh, and she threw something at him.
They actually discussed the idea that, how do we protect the president from his wife? I don't think it was any lengthy conversation, but, that's their job, is to protect the president.
Sure.
Even if it's from her. There was I didn't even finish all the presidential stories. There was one about this person that put up a Trump-Pence sign, and they booby-trapped it with razor blades. Ah. So so many people are trying to tear down Trump signs that this person did try to tear it down and got cut up by these box cutters. Apparently. And I don't know why the guy was trying to tear the sign down. But there was a story in Ferndale about a woman who put up a Trump sign outside her business.
Yeah.
And, of course, people tore it down immediately. And then I think she put it back up. And then the city came over. Apparently a former city council member reported to the city that there was an illegal sign. They measured it and said it's a few inches too big. And they actually got the city to take it down. And I don't know what she did, if she just cut a few inches off it or what, but it was back up, last I heard.
For God's sakes.
People are just being crazy.
Mm-hmm. That's what's important.
Yeah. Making sure. I'm sure that sign was going to make so many people vote for him.
For sure.
Change their mind.
Any sign.
Because you see a sign. I mean, is there any bigger waste of money than a sign for a candidate?
Unless it makes you proud.
Yeah.
You're being so daring.
Georgia militia steps up its combat training and prepares to fight and kill should Hillary steal the election. Did you hear that story?
Wow.
Is this for real?
The state of Georgia or the country of Georgia? The state of Georgia?
Well, let's see. Down a Georgia country road, camouflage members of the 3% security force have mobilized for rifle practice, hand-to-hand combat training, and an impromptu campaign rally for Republican President candidate Donald Trump.
Great.
Georgia militia. I'm sure these are guys... who are every bit as together as Norm Olson and people like the Michigan militia.
The black helicopter militia?
Yeah.
Yeah, not the National Guard-ish.
Do we still need militias? Is this something the Constitution provides for?
The rise of militias in the last 8 years has been pretty steep.
Right.
Yeah, but since Norm left, I never hear about militias.
Well,
Norm was in the news all the time.
They disappeared for about 8 years, and then the last 8 years, they've been on the rise again.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just a statistical fact.
Yeah.
Is there any reason we need militias?
Yeah.
Because the government. To fight the government in the case the government turns its weapons on us?
Absolutely.
And the militias are going to be well armed enough to take the government on?
That is the thinking, yes.
I see. And what if they turn nuclear weapons on us?
Well, what if a tank comes rolling down the street?
Yeah, how's the militia going to fight that?
I don't think the militia has quite the firepower.
How many were in the northern Michigan Norm's unit.
Norm, wait, what about Norm's unit?
How many were in Norm's unit?
I think he had a few hundred.
A few hundred.
Yeah, and wow. I saw them on maneuvers. They looked like they were pretty together.
Sure.
Really?
No.
They're doing hand over hand on the monkey bars. And
They were hey, hiding behind the rocks.
Don't knock the monkey bars. That trained some people in a great fashion.
It just looked so ridiculous.
I mean, you never know how many times you're out on the battlefield and you need to use monkey bars to cross over
true.
Something.
It is true.
There always are monkey bars. There though. Are. Any militia training.
Because they're easy to build.
They're true. They're cheap.
And rope ladders.
Yeah. Wait, there's a 13-year-old that says Trump raped her? Is that right?
She never showed up for her her appearance, though.
I don't think I believe this one. I mean, I can believe plenty of these, but I can't see him raping a 13-year-old.
Is she currently 13 or was?
She was 13. She abruptly canceled a press conference. Katie Johnson referred to as Jane Doe. Claimed Donald Trump raped her at one of billionaire pedophile Jeffrey Epstein's notorious sex parties in 1994.
There's alleged, I mean, it goes both ways because there are alleged ties with Clinton and Epstein and Trump and Epstein. But nothing, you know, nothing concrete.
Okay, that's dumb.
Oh, Steven Seagal got Russian citizenship.
Yes, he did.
All right.
Oh, my God, he's huge.
And did you hear about the ex-girlfriend of Donald Trump who is raving about him?
No, who?
Remember the golfer Jan Stevenson?
Oh.
She was like the hot golfer.
Yeah.
When she won a bunch of tournaments. I think she won 16 tournaments. She says she was dating him in, I think it was the 70s. Wait, hold on.
Really?
Somewhere.
Wow.
It was a good long while ago. He was dating Ivana at the same time.
Oh.
And she said he was honest about it. He was open, like, yeah, I got this other chick and I'm seeing her too. And, and he really dug Jan Stevenson, and she really liked him. She said he was very nice and he was romantic and all this crap. And,
really?
Yeah, she was kind of vouching for him.
Grab her by the...
No.
He wasn't that famous then. It's only the fame that has entitled him.
Oh.
According to himself.
She may, just maybe didn't talk about that, but
it was kind of a
part of their relationship.
I don't know. It was a surprising story because I would think anyone who dated Donald Trump for any time would certainly, you know, point out a flaw or two. But and also the fact that why would someone like Jan Stevenson, who was like seriously the hot golfer, she was a really good looking gal.
Mm-hmm.
She was in great shape and all that. Why would she date someone who has another girlfriend?
Yeah.
Hmm.
How do you pull that off? How do guys pull that off? Because, you know, I read about guys
that
do that.
You have to be honest and open about it.
If you're honest and open about it, aren't they going to say, fuck you? That they're both, I mean, Ivana Trump was a good-looking gal, and so was Jan Stevenson. Why would either one of them put up with that shit? Then.
Do you think this is really her picture on Sport Magazine?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. No, she was hot.
She has a pink, midriff shirt tied up. You know, like a Daisy Duke style.
Hmm.
And you can see through on the front of a magazine.
Yeah. Huh. I don't know. Do you know many girls who will date someone who is openly dating someone else? I mean, it sounded like he was serious about both of them.
No. You want to be the top dog in that relationship.
Yeah. I mean, don't you at some point say, look, make up your mind or forget it?
Yeah. Right.
And she actually acts like she blew it because... let's see. What's the story here? Trump invited her to fly to New York for dinner, Stevenson said, but she was in Atlanta and scheduled to appear in a pro-am the next day, so she requested he fly to her. When a limo arrived to pick her up, ostensibly to allow her to meet Trump upon his arrival, the driver rolled out a red carpet. Nice. When she got to the airport, she said she was told to board a waiting plane. I sent a plane for her. They said, you're coming to me, bitch. When I got inside, the plane was full of roses, and there was one rose sitting on a seat with a letter for dinner reservation in Paris. She's got a pro-am the next day, mind you.
Mm-hmm.
This is the most romantic thing he ever did. It would also be the beginning of the end. Stevenson turned down the invitation, and Trump married his first wife, Ivana, the next year.
Mm. Oh.
Wow.
Her risque 1977 Sport Magazine cover. That's what you're looking at, Trudy.
Wow.
That risque cover. Vaulted her to fame. When she takes one risque picture, and it vaults her to fame. What started as a promising golf career and morphed into a glamorous walking soap opera. In the words of the New York Times, virtually overnight, Stevenson helped popularize women's golf. God, just by showing a little cleavage, which apparently was in then, even though it's out now, it just brought the whole sport up. That's all you got to do to make a sport happen?
Right. Well, Yeah, it doesn't work for guys. So
somebody
much.
Tell the soccer players about that.
Yeah, I know. They didn't really try that hard, do they?
No, there's no chicks playing soccer. They need a female soccer with a hot body, show it off a little bit, and the sport will vault, just like women's golf, right?
Yeah.
There was a bizarre story at the tip of the 5 o'clock news about a teacher who was it Romeo?
Yeah.
Freshman football coach. And he's hitting on, sending text messages to 15, 16-year-old girls, and apparently maybe even had some action with a couple of them, and this guy's in big trouble. But anyway, the amazing thing about the story is he tweets this stuff out. These are tweets where he's saying how hot he is?
Yeah, direct messages.
Mm-hmm. And to me, the story is not that he was doing something wrong with 15. The story is that he's not as hot as he says he is. That should have been the story. I think they should have examined, is he as hot as he claims he is in all these tweets? But no, they're doing the story on the alleged improper content.
Well, thankfully, Trudy's here to let us know.
Yeah, that's why I wanted to show Trudy.
Oh, okay.
To see if we can determine, is he that hot? Because I don't think he is.
Let's do it right now. We're talking about Coach Hector Tanner, as you pointed out, charged with two felony counts we're talking about here of using a computer to attempt to commit a crime of criminal sexual conduct and another felony count here of accosting children for immoral purposes. The prosecutor in the case saying that kids really looked up to Coach Hector Tanner, and now he's accused of reaching out to kids for sex. Prosecutors say Romeo High School freshman football coach Hector Tanner used his Romeo High School issued computer tablet to have Twitter conversations with two Romeo High School students, one 15, the other 16. Police say Tanner solicited the students to join him in a three-way sexual encounter.
A three-way? Can you pause for a second?
Where it would take place.
Okay, it's one thing to try and talk a 15-year-old girl into having sex when you're a football coach. But a three-way, come on, isn't that just, that's way over the line.
Yeah, that's...
And I don't think you're going to talk a 15-year-old into doing that. They're not even going to know what a three-way is. Well, they don't know what a three-way is, but that's, this guy was way over the line. I think if I was... Oh, this is weird. Okay, I'm trying to put myself in the mind of a pedophile-type person. Mm. I would never go for the three-way because that would be over the line. You'd be lucky. You're going to just... try to go out with 15-year-olds, I would say you'd be better off doing it pretty conventionally.
Well, start slow.
You'd be lucky to just get
start
back.
Slow. Exactly. You got to groom them.
You got to find one who's going to stay silent.
You're not going to just get two 15-year-old girls. Plus, they're going to compare notes and stuff, and then one of them might blab.
Maybe this guy just throws caution to the wind and just throws it all out there to see what'll happen.
No, he's throwing up the peace sign there, so I can't see much of his face.
But?
Is he as hot as he claims? Did they show the tweets yet?
No, not yet.
Okay. Is there a better picture? Computer tablet to have Twitter conversations with two Romeo High School students, one 15, the other 16. Police say Tanner solicited the students to join him in a three-way sexual encounter detailing when and where it would take place. Prosecutors revealing some of Tanner's Twitter messages indicating that he believed he is so sexually desired by students that if he didn't engage in sex with them, he'd be looked down upon. Some of Tanner's messages, according to prosecutors, quote, and yeah, every day I have girls literally all over me. LOL.
What?
Quote, it's crazy. I hear my name everywhere. It's literally like not my fault that everyone thinks I'm attractive.
Over yourself.
And honestly, I just don't want to get canned or go to jail.
Oh, man.
Now, it's interesting. What's the name of the guy doing this? Stephen?
Frowny Face, yeah.
Well, yeah, he left one line out. Of the Sean Lee, of the message, and that was, if I don't like fuck one, I'm a pussy. He left that line out.
He left that out?
That was in there? Really?
Yeah, because you can see the full message online.
Jay's got his whole Twitter up here.
Huh. Yeah, every day I have girls literally all over me, LOL. It's like, if I don't blank one, I'm a P blank.
Huh, really?
It's crazy.
Crazy.
Bunch of A's.
Trudy, is he even remotely hot?
No, he is not that hot.
It's not his fault.
Is there another picture?
I know he has to obscure most more of the story.
I love that. Mark, it's literally like not my fault. Everyone thinks I'm attractive.
The stepmother of one of the teens Tanner was allegedly messaging discovered the messages, brought them to school officials, and Coach Hector Tanner was escorted off of school property. The felony charges Tanner is facing are incredibly serious, and even though he is now gone from school, Coach Heck remains a very popular figure with students.
He did nothing but love for everyone in high school. He was there, and You know, he didn't do what most hall monitor did. He was like our friend.
Oh, well, yeah,
he had no choice because he's so hot. Right
back here, live all the parents in the district. Sean Lay asked,
"So do you think he's hot?"
Whitney, the superintendent of Lomond Community
or what?
Schools, saying in part, "Quote, the individual has been informed that he is not permitted on school property or to attend school-related events. He has been instructed not to be in contact with staff or students of Romeo."
What are some of his other tweets here? Let's see. He's telling the kids in this one. Oh, I wouldn't work at any other school. Oh, thank you. You'll only hit on the 15-year-olds at our school. Great. The money. What does that say? Rec money.
Heck money.
Heck money. Love you like Tammy,
heck money.
Bro. Ain't nothing going to happen. You, bro, with me and everybody. This guy's a teacher? And everybody in the high school, we got your back. Don't worry about nothing. Hashtag free coach heck. Oh, that's somebody else. Yeah. Oh, these are other people. Okay.
Standing up for him.
Heck, I know you can't reply, but you made everyone's day better at that school, man. Look at how you've motivated so many people. I got real tears because you complete the Romeo Bulldogs.
Well, maybe he is that good looking and nobody can resist him.
It's not his fault. Like he said.
Oh, and then he comes back and says, thank you, students, for your support. Tears running now. Thank you for support.
Wow. A three-way, though. That's pretty ambitious.
What are you? Dude, you're not that hot.
No.
Yesterday's story, God, they've had hot stories to lead off their news. No, actually, it was Channel 7 did it, but it was a crazy story. It was about the school board guy who's running for school board, and he used to take foreign exchange students, and now he just takes disenfranchised kids. And we probably touched on it, but he has all these ridiculous things on social media that he thinks are funny.
Yeah.
For example, a picture of two black kids in the bathtub eating watermelon. And he's like, tell me that's not funny. And he's even telling the reporter, hey, come on, that's funny. There's no way you can say that's not funny. And he's like, oh, you really think that's funny? Like, yeah, I think it's funny.
Why is that funny?
Because black kids are eating watermelon.
In a bathtub.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know what the bathtub has to do with it. But
that's what I think.
Weird staging. Anyways, maybe he just didn't want to get juice all over.
He had a number of social media items that might not be considered politically correct.
Guilty of having a bad sense of humor.
Yeah.
And some previous offenses, correct?
He lost. He got booted out of the foreign exchange student thing.
Right.
Something.
Because there was a reason that nobody is.
Oh, really?
Yeah. There's something. There are a couple other things going on.
Oh.
When he called attention to himself, then everybody looked into it.
He, after this whole thing started up again with the kids eating watermelon and a couple other things, he tweeted out a picture of a black kid mowing his lawn and said, look, it's slave labor.
I suppose you're going to say that it's slave labor.
Exactly.
Right.
So this guy's quite a piece of work.
Yeah. Oh, God. And it's his right. It's freedom of speech or something like that. So that's good. I hope he gets to school board.
I'm sure he will.
Where is this?
People see through all
Madison
this
Heights?
Craziness.
Yeah.
Was it Sterling Heights?
Madison Heights.
Okay.
Mad Heights.
Let's call the 105-year-old Cubs fan, who I know loves doing interviews on the phone. That's why we've got the megaphone, just in case.
Did you see the guy that put the beer can in his fridge after the 84 playoffs?
No.
So he's not opening it until the Cubs win the World Series?
No way.
So then he opened it. It was an old Coors pulled
tab. Blow up all over the place?
No, there's no fizz in it. And he didn't even drink it. The whole thing was supposed to drink it. And so he pours it out and people are like, oh, don't drink that, man. Don't drink that. I'm like, bullshit. Down that thing, man. You're not going to get sick.
A new curse is formed.
It's been in a can for 32 years. Just drink it.
I don't know what the point is of putting a beer in, though, because wouldn't it be better to put something that ages well?
Well, I think he was mad, and so he wouldn't drink the last beer or whatever.
Okay.
That's dramatic.
Whatever. this dude's name is Ray Stierland. The 105-year-old Cubs fan. There's also 108-year-old Hazel. God, is anyone named Hazel?
Who's this? Who's calling?
Hello?
I thought that was
him. Who's
on the phone?
You got me, Jay. Come on, Ray.
It takes a while to get
Let's go, dude. Get the phone.
This is Ray Sherland. I cannot take your call at this time. Please leave your message.
You left an outgoing message.
Ray! Hey, it's a radio show in Michigan, and we wanted to talk to you about your Chicago Cubs.
Cubs win.
World Championship. I know you must be excited. We are too. Anyway, If you get this message, Jay, you want to give him the number? On that rotary dial. Thank you, sir. Oh, too bad.
Bye-bye.
I bet he can't get to the phone fast enough to answer it.
Maybe.
And everything goes to voicemail.
You think he gets back to all his messages?
I don't know. I don't even know if he listens. Well, unless it's an old-fashioned answering machine, maybe.
It kind of sounded like it was.
It did sort of sound like that. What did Joe say about Hazel Nilsson?
Just another one.
108-year-old bag.
He hasn't been able to get a hold of her, but we can try her.
Hazel.
She the one that lives in the home?
Yeah, she lives in room 105.
Oh, we could at least find out. I mean, if she's not available, how hard she was partying.
Let's see.
Jello shots for sure.
No harm.
Yeah. Body shots.
Body shots.
Who said they were going to do a shot of Jägermeister?
That was Dorothy. She's only 90. She did do it. She did like 6 shots.
What?
Oh. They won the NLC.
6 shots?
Yeah, there's a whole clip of her partying with this WGN reporter.
Really?
That's blackout material. 6 shots of Jaeger?
I could never
do
that.
Centipede Cove Bland.
Hello?
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 Hi, I'm trying to reach. This is Drew and Mark and Trudy. We're calling on our radio broadcast from Michigan. We want to talk to Hazel Nilsson, the Cubs fan.
Oh, okay. Hold on, please.
Thank you.
Boy. They sound very happy.
They're probably getting calls like crazy. Every lowest common denominator media outlet's calling them. Like us.
Who's on the phone? Who's calling?
Every time I hear that, who's on the phone? Of course, I think of the circumstances, which are so funny.
Oh. Come on, while we're young.
It's a House of Skank.
Oh, right.
Francis.
Yeah. Oh. Hello? Yellow.
Well, we clearly were just.
Oh, it just blew us out.
Clearly, we're disconnected.
Bye. They all act like they're 108.
I actually believe that was an accidental disconnection.
I think it was. It sounded, I don't know, it certainly wasn't a slam down.
I mean, we have to call back, or else she could just be really bummed out that she accidentally hung up on
she
us.
She might be sitting by the phone, all fired up.
Oh, I
tons to say.
I accidentally hung up. I hope they're not mad.
Strategy to argue about. Come on, Hazel.
That's a cool name.
Yeah, I remember the TV show called Hazel.
Yeah, she's a maid, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a ridiculous premise
dumb.
For a TV show. Did Hazel always get in the way? Did she always fuck things up?
I think she did.
Yeah, I think she did too.
Yeah.
Was it Mr. Wilson?
Hi, you have reached the Centipede Cove Nursing Clinic.
So this is life impersonating art?
They just put the message on.
Oh, yeah, Hazel broke the phone.
At the tone, please record your message. When you've finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options. To leave a callback number, press 5.
Whatever. Yeah, this is Drew and Mark and Trudy. We're doing a broadcast in Michigan. We were trying to reach Hazel Nilsson to talk about the Cubs in their world championship. But we were disconnected, and I don't know what happened. We asked for it. They said we were going to be connected, I think. And then next thing you know, we're DQ'd, and we call back, and it's voicemail. It seems like a pretty interesting outfit you got over there. I don't know what's going on. But we really wanted to talk to her. Anyway.
She agreed.
Yeah, she wanted to talk, but thanks. Anyway, see you.
Bye-bye.
Later. Bummer.
Oh, boy.
All right.
We're never going to find out what Hazel thought about the game.
Hazel was a competent take-charge live-in maid with the Baxter
family. Oh, the
family.
Show?
Yes.
Wait, say it again?
She was a competent take-charge live-in maid with the Baxter family.
The Baxters, that's
Baxters.
Right.
Wait, so is that kind of like, who was the guy? Was the Mr. Belvedere?
It was Mr. Belvedere in chicken.
Taking care of the Euchre family?
Okay. Yeah. She always wore those, like, you know, like
maid outfit.
Sort of nursey outfits only for maids.
Yeah, she had the white thing on her head, and she was in the apron in front.
Right, yeah.
I always thought she, like, there were hijinks. There were, like, goofy hijinks. Like, Hazel was kind of the crazy maid, and Mr. B was, of course, the super straight, like, businessman.
It must have been, like, a bunch of, oh, Hazel moments.
Yeah, definitely. No doubt.
Yeah.
I remember when Mr. Belvedere came out, my thought was, why is that guy from the beer ads doing a sitcom? I didn't know Euchre played baseball or even broadcast it at that time.
Oh, that's funny.
I was 10, I think, when that show came out, mid-80s.
There was a lot of introspection when you were 10.
I know.
It seemed like Mr. B, it's sort of like Hazel loosened him up.
Right.
He was a super uptight business guy, but Hazel's wacky.
Stick up his butt.
Yeah, exactly.
So he would fire if she didn't add so much levity to his life?
She would get him to do things they didn't ordinarily.
Oh, and he fought it, but then in the end he realized.
Right. Yeah, he realized he needed right to loosen up.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And that wacky
this is an actual
maid of
TV
his.
Show?
Yes. Wow. Yes, it was.
And there was a snobby Bostonian sister who would visit and trouble her.
Ooh.
Oh, I don't remember the snobby sister.
Inflict your snobbiness on Hazel.
Really? And that wouldn't work at all, of course. Hazel would never fall for
bullied.
That. Hazel was, it seems to me.
Shirley Booth.
Hazel treated everyone the same. Everyone was the same with Hazel.
Yeah, right.
Hazel didn't understand putting on airs.
I was a maid once.
You were?
What?
Yeah. Really?
Wait, not, a real maid chamber? Or like a different kind of maid?
No. I don't know. I have to think about that question. At a hotel, I was a maid.
Oh, gross.
That kind of maid.
Okay, oh, man, that had to be a freaky job.
All right, how many times did you walk in the room and someone was nude?
I think I walked in a couple of times and there were people still in bed.
Ooh, hot.
Right.
Oh, that must. Bye. I would think that happens all the time. People forget to put the do not disturb on.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
The mages come rolling in.
Right, begging for you.
How many clogged toilets did people leave behind?
I didn't ever. I guess I was lucky.
What a classy joint.
It was a Ramada Inn, you know, near Cedar Point.
Ooh,
la la. Ooh.
Oh, yeah, I heard the Holiday Inn was a terror. Air maids. Our team was, we had a crack team of maids.
Nice.
But I got eventually reprimanded for cleaning the floor with my foot.
What?
You know, like the rag underneath my foot.
What's wrong with that?
Sounds efficient, if you ask me.
I like
doing
that.
What's wrong with that? Yeah.
Didn't care for that.
Shouldn't
you
like
don't.
That. What do I mean? On my
hands
and
knees.
Really?
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, it is a classy job.
What'd that gig pay?
Oh, minimum wage. And back then it was.
And
did you ever find anything and keep it?
Maybe. Yeah, a couple things.
Yeah.
I always wondered about that because.
Lost and found.
Because I've left some things of value. Like, I think I left a DVD player. And in a hotel
room
once. Yeah, just the little portable ones. Yeah. They're like $100, $150. And by the way, Hazel Nielsen, apparently someone called on her behalf.
I told you.
It's not over.
Wow.
She disconnected and she's been horrified ever since she disconnected.
Oh, poor Hazel.
Hang on one second, okay?
Yeah. Oh, this could be Hazel.
Oh, yeah.
Hazel!
Ray. Oh, it's Ray. It's Ray Stryland. Ray!
Yeah.
Ray, congratulations on the Cubs.
Yeah. Boy, they had me worried, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what
are they doing?
How would you describe the way you felt after Rajay Davis hit the two-run homer to tie the game at 6 apiece there in the 8th inning?
I got worried then.
Yeah.
Did you think the Cubs were going to blow another one?
It looked like it. I thought, boy, here now they're tied up. Now we're going to have to wait another 100 years.
Now, being 105 years old, of course, we all think of the 84 Cubs, the 2003 Cubs, the 69 Cubs. Were there any Cubs teams prior to 69 that you thought should have won it and didn't?
Oh, I can't remember that.
45, right?
Well, 45, they lost in the World Series. Do you remember the 1945 World Series?
No. My memory isn't that good.
69.
Yeah, I thought last night when they tied it up, well, here we go again. Another 100 years.
How many?
So
then it started to rain. And they got,
how many expletives did you let fly after they tied the game with that home run?
Yeah, I figured, well, they won't.
Did you think you were going to have to wait another 100 years?
They'll cancel till tomorrow, I thought, so I went to bed.
Wait, you went to bed?
You didn't see the end of the game?
Yeah, because it was raining and they got the tarp out.
Oh, you said screw it because of the rain delay. I don't blame you.
So when did you find out that they actually won and they're World Series champs? Did someone wake you up?
No, he recorded it, of course.
No, I was late in the morning.
He has beta.
Did you record the end of the game? Is there any chance that happened?
Did an alert go off on your cell phone that said, Cubs win?
Oh, I found
or did you look out
the
window and they were raising the flag?
Cell phone. Yeah, do you have a cell phone, perchance?
You got what?
A cell phone? Do you have one? Because they would alert you about the Cubs' score.
No.
So how did you find out the Cubs won?
On the TV in the morning.
Oh,
I see. Well, that's fascinating. And how exciting for you. Did you watch every game of the series? Right?
I tried to, yeah. Yeah, I did.
Okay. Because it, you know, the story we had indicated that you were a really big Cubs fan and have been, but sounds like maybe you're not that, I mean, you watch maybe every game, or, I mean, are you a huge Cubs fan?
I've been almost all my life.
How old is this kid?
Who's your favorite Cubs player? Favorite Cubs player of all time?
Watch the game.
Oh, boy.
Went to bed early.
I like them. I like them all.
Do you have Cubs paraphernalia that you wear? You have a shirt and a hat?
I got a shirt and I got a cap. Somebody sent me.
Cool.
I got one cap and then a little while later, well, they sent them to my daughter here in Moline.
That's
we're
nice.
Being hoodwinked.
25 more caps. I don't know where they came from. I
guess 25 sort of like
more. Oh, people just started sending Cubs stuff because they heard about you being a 105-year-old fan?
Yeah.
Wow, that's really neat. I wonder if that's why they pretended you're such a big fan.
Now, how
one cup cap came, and then later 25 more.
Whoa, were you like, I only have one head? Actually, two.
He put them on eBay.
I'm going to give them out here.
He's got a really active eBay.
Did you put Cubs on hats on eBay?
That's cool.
Have you been stuffing envelopes all day? Now, your daughter must have been thrilled that they won. She was probably a big Cubs fan, right?
No.
What?
Well, no, they're all Cardinal fans.
Oh, the bastards.
Oh, my God.
Boo.
Yeah, they got a daughter-in-law. She's a Cubs fan, so we're the only two in the whole family. All
oh, wow.
Cardinals.
Wow, the in-law. It takes an in-law to get another Cubs fan in your family.
You sure she's not just being a Cubs fan so she could be closer and accepted into the family by you?
Why is there music every time he starts talking?
He's playing the organ.
He's playing the organ?
It's a train.
Oh, it's a train. Oh, yeah, just a train, I think.
Do you live next to the train tracks?
It's some voice-activated instrument.
Ray?
It's a cell phone ring.
Do you live near the train tracks, Ray?
Pardon?
Do you live near a train? We thought we heard a train in the background.
Every time he gets a text.
It's just below here.
Oh.
I don't even hear him anymore.
Oh, wow.
Oh, the tones aren't high enough.
Yeah, I think they're sounds like the trains are voice activated. It's crazy. Every time you talk, you hear a train. It's weird.
Now, how did you celebrate once you found out this morning from the TV that the Cubs won?
I ate breakfast.
Wow, what a celebration.
All day long, Cubs fans come by congratulating me.
Oh, that's
cool. Bullshit.
All day long.
All day long, no kidding.
That's kind of nice, right?
That is nice.
Yeah.
Did you watch the game with a big group of Cubs fans, or did you watch by yourself?
Oh, just by myself.
Yeah, he's a fake Cubs fan. That's why.
It's meal time, you know.
Let's see the answer to this. Who is your favorite Cub player of all time, of all the great Cubs players? Who's the one that you just can't forget because you like him so much? Better answer.
I couldn't pick any.
Oh,
none? They're all your
favorite? Hey, come on. What about Ernie Banks or Ron Santo or Joe like Smith or Jim Cook?
Like Babe Ruth.
I don't know.
Yeah, I was a Cubs fan.
I'm giving him some fake names.
I guess I sort of like them all.
I didn't have any special.
Yeah. Okay. And now, before last night, what was the biggest highlight for you being a Cub fan? Was it when they maybe made the playoffs in 84? Did you love the 69 Cubs? Did you have a favorite team? Before last night? Answer no, I bet.
Oh, I can't.
69.
Right. Fake Cubs. Okay. And when's the last time you went to Wrigley Field to see a game in person? Because you're such a fan.
Who?
Have you been to Wrigley Field lately to see a Cubs game in person?
For a long time. I lived in Chicago. Yeah, I used to go over there.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Where's the field again? What street's it on?
Pardon?
What street is the Cubs Wrigley Field on? Is it Clark and Clark Street?
I can't remember that.
Yeah,
far
never
back.
Been there. Never been there.
When did you live in Chicago, sir?
On the north side. I used to go over there before I went to work in the evening.
Where'd you work?
See, there was all day games back there. They had no light.
They had no lights. Oh, you know something about the Cubs. And when did they get lights? Do you remember offhand?
No.
Yeah, 1988, just in case anybody asked. Wow. Well, you know, you are such a huge Cubs fan. You must have had a ball this morning when you found out after going to bed during the rain delay. And
because when they tied it last night, well, I thought, oh, well, here we go again.
Yeah, here we go again.
Got to wait another 100 years.
Well, I tell you, it's been really fun talking to you about this great love of the Cubs that we share.
And we'll,
I think
we'll call you next year when they win it again.
Yeah. If I'm still around.
Yep.
Oh, Jesus. Come on, Ray. You're in great health, aren't you?
I'm doing fine.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's great. Hopefully you'll be around for another championship. Thank you, Ray.
Okay.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Go, Cubs. Go.
Bye, Ray.
Hey, bye-bye. Hey,
ho, ho, ho. Cubs are going to win today. No, he's never heard that song. He's not a Cubs fan. He can't even name one player.
I know.
He doesn't remember one team before 69.
It's weak. He should remember 1945, right?
Fuck yeah. Come on.
Come on.
Okay, short-term memory sucks, but usually your long-term memory's not bad.
I can't believe he found out from the morning TV news.
He went to bed during the rain delay. What kind of a Cubs fan is that? He didn't give a fuck.
Where's his daughter-in-law? Why didn't she call him and wake him up?
She's the one that started this ruse so people would send him shit.
Yeah, because she's a Cubs fan.
She's running the email. He's running the eBay, eBay empire.
Oh.
She has him sign it. Sign these hats, Dad.
He's having a hard time keeping the ruse up.
Or you're not getting your oatmeal.
Doesn't know Wrigley Field's on Clark and Addison. Doesn't know anything. It's been so long since I've been there.
I think he knows one thing, and it's that when the game tied up in the eighth, he thought, oh boy, here we go again. We're going to have to wait another 100 years.
I think his daughter wrote that down. Dad, if you get stumped by anybody, just say this.
Well, the first time I genuinely thought it was adorable and laughed. But then the next three times...
Hey, he thought of a funny line, you know. He wants to make sure he gets it in.
I think everybody's got a relative over 100 is claiming their relative is a huge Cubs fan to get attention and free shit, free tickets. I bet you a couple people in his family went to one of those games at Wrigley.
For free?
Games. For free, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, my daddy's such a big fan. Oh, God, he would love more than anything to go to the game. And then they just take the tickets. They don't even tell him.
He'd love to throw out the first pitch. It's crazy. The day comes. Oh, he's just too sick.
And we have the daughter of 105-year-old Ray Stryland to throw out the first pitch.
Of course, she's, what, 85 probably herself.
I know. That's the funny part of people that age is you think of daughter, their kids, and they're actually in their 70s. Like, Maz mentioned that he went to the booth, Trudy.
I love this story.
And Jim Price, you know, does the color.
Yeah.
And he said Jim Price Jr. was there.
Yeah.
And Mark and I are picturing this 12-year-old kid.
Right.
Jim Price Jr. is 55.
Oh, God. Wow.
Little Jimmy Price Jr.
Yeah, keeping himself busy with his iPad.
While Dad's out busy working. Sitting in the booth. Dad had to bring him to work today.
Take the boy to work day. Nice.
Oh, boy. Hey, did your Tiger Woods have a new girlfriend?
Yeah, she's hot, man.
Wow. Hey, this is the shocking thing. She's blonde, and she's hot.
Oh, wow, that's three in a row.
Isn't that strange?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Lindsey Vonn. Wait, no, don't tell me. Is this a 108-year-old chick?
603, New Hampshire? Cell phone?
Oh, it is. It's Hazel. Well, oh, my God. Hazel!
Hello.
Hazel,
are you there?
Cubs win!
No, this ain't Hazel.
Oh, who
I'm
is
gonna it? Give you, I'm going to give you Hazel's number.
Okay, great.
Who's this?
Well, should I take it, Jay? Yeah, go ahead. Shoot, I'll take it.
So confused.
Okay,
and how's Hazel's hearing?
Pretty good.
Pretty good. Great.
How excited is she?
I don't know. She's pretty quiet tonight.
Oh, okay.
Did she stay up for the whole game?
Yep.
Oh, good. Great. Yeah, we just talked to a 105-year-old Cubs fan. He went to sleep during the rain delay. We think he's a fake fan.
Oh, I see.
He couldn't even name one player ever of all time.
I'll be done.
Yeah,
that's Hazel's number. So.
Okay, great. You seemed fascinated by the information. Thank you.
Yep, bye.
Bye.
I'll be done.
Bye-bye.
She did
She's
not
so
care.
Wanted it off the phone, didn't she?
That was one of the most insincere comments ever, ever heard on this show. I'll be darned.
All right, let's call her up, man.
Yeah, let's get her going. Come on. Let's find a real Cubs fan.
A little bummed to hear that she's not all riled up tonight.
Maybe she partied too hard.
Yeah, I think that's what she was suggesting, that after staying up so late with the Cubs last night, she probably slept all day.
Her whole
she
clock,
could just crash forever.
Her whole clock is thrown off by the Cubs going to the World Series.
That's true.
Instead of getting the up at 4, she's late. Up till 4.
Huh. Yeah, boy. We got to ask her about the TV show, too.
Hello?
Hazel!
Yes.
Hazel, it's Drew, Mark, and Trudy, and we're broadcasting from Michigan, and we heard that you are the biggest Cubs fan.
I told you to say, you're right. Oh. I stayed up till 1:30 that morning, and when I saw that ball,
oh boy, someone's had a stroke.
I'm on the ground, and the biggest fan.
How exciting.
I yelled, yay, won.
All right.
Nice.
Hazel, do you remember there was used to be a TV show called Hazel?
Oh, I'm cool, baby.
Yeah.
I am.
You just said.
Everything. It depends on who it is. Well, this is a border after all. Whole body. B-U-D-D-Y. And I've been called dynamite.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Is that so?
How have you been celebrating the Cubs' victory?
Good. Me too.
Cool.
Yeah, okay.
Are you partying?
Big bag?
Are you partying for the Cubs?
Oh, no. I'm living in a assisted living.
Oh, okay.
You didn't have
because
a stiff drink?
I broke my backbone and hospitalized.
Oh, okay.
So, but they're really hot, though. And I said, you can't live alone. You got to live.
So amen.
I'm not with the kids. Oh. I'm in my own place, my own apartment.
So
How do you get along on your own? Is that hard to get along on your own? Because sometimes people, you know.
I'm fine.
You're fine?
I have a walker. But I can walk without it. But because I don't want to fall, I walk with it.
That's good. You got to keep active, right?
Yeah.
Do you have trouble communicating?
Now, last night, back to the game last night when you were watching, there was that big home run in the eighth inning. When that ball left and the game was tied, did you think, oh, no, here we go again. We're going to have to wait another 100 years.
Yeah. I knew it.
He had the wrong audience for that line. It's in his demo.
I stole his joke.
His demo loves it.
He'll never know.
Hazel, who is your favorite Cubs player of all time? You've been watching the Cubs for 108 years.
Of all time?
Yep.
Beverly Hartcheck.
Beverly
Hartcheck. I like Pafko.
Andy Pafko? Did you say Andy Pafko?
Yeah.
It's from the 30s. Oh, my God.
She's real?
Were you a Hack Wilson fan?
Hack Wilson, Gabby Hartnett.
Gabby Hartnett hit the homer in the Gloaming.
And,
in the 30s. I'm not kidding. What about...
The pitcher and Ryan Chambers. Oh, I had Phil Hammer at one time was the first baseman.
Okay, you lost me there. But
and Mark Grace.
Grace.
Oh, Mark Grace. Yeah,
yeah, everybody loves Mark Grace.
Ryan Sandberg?
Yeah.
Ryan,
what about...
He was a favorite, right?
Do you remember...
He was handsome, huh?
But
he was a
they
stud.
Were all good.
Do you remember Hack Wilson very well? Hack Wilson or Mordecai Three Finger Brown?
Wait, he would have
actually was 1908.
Way earlier.
Tinkers to Everest a Chance. That was 1908 too. Wow, your knowledge is amazing. Because we were talking to this fake Cubs fan a little while ago. He couldn't he couldn't name one Cub. We asked him. He's younger than you, and we said, "Who's your favorite Cub?" And he couldn't even think of one.
Okay, yeah, they have good.
Gabby Hartness,
you're the real deal.
Hack Wilson.
Hack Wilson, yeah.
Fergie Jenkins.
Andy Pafko,
yeah. Now we're getting a little repetition there.
Okay.
Cap Anson.
Kai Kyler. Do you remember Kai Kyler?
I love the all two Cubs.
All right.
Now,
me too.
Do you remember the 1945 World Series?
I don't really remember.
Okay.
I was in Buffalo at that time.
Well, Hazel, I'll tell you what, you've really inspired our listeners who are all Cubs fans, too. And we want to thank you for your time, and I hope they can win another one for you.
Oh, good. Good. Yeah. I got it.
Thank you so much.
I got two gorgeous hats.
Okay, two gorgeous
some
hats.
Some people were at the game.
Oh.
One man sat with the owner, and they got me a beautiful Workers Cubs cap.
Oh, nice.
Wow. Oh, what a lucky break.
When you got all those hats, did you say, I only have one head and only one?
Ooh, that thing might, I've got pictures of that.
Market bomb.
She laughed. No, she laughed.
You need to tap into the old guy's humor.
You laughed at that joke?
She loved that joke.
Now, when the game...
I love them.
What?
And I'm still a Cubs fan.
She's a Cubs fan.
When they got that hit, and I saw them on...
Trudy, can you?
Do you remember Steve Bartman? That joke of a guy that ruined 2003. Do you remember that guy?
Bartman.
Steve Bartman, the fan.
Remember
yes.
What a joker! What's that guy up to?
The thing I said was he gets the ball, but like what price? I bet nobody ever saw him. And his name was in the writer of the paper.
Yeah,
right. Well, we read the paper, too.
Wow. Well, you got the parade on Friday. That's going to be pretty exciting, huh?
Are you going to the parade?
Yeah, with your walker?
Well, I'm left here in New Hampshire.
Oh,
yeah. I guess you're not going to any parade. Well,
so I just have to wish.
Any parade?
I did say hello. Ever. How was it? Until they had the hit in the 10th night.
She stayed up all night.
Nice job, Trudy.
Now, when the game got tied...
Translational skills, I don't get it.
When the game got tied 6-6, did you think, oh, no, here we go again. We're going to have to wait another 100 years.
There's a 108-year-old lady who's
aw. Yeah, they know. They know. They felt it.
Hazel, I want to thank you for your time and for being such a great Cubs fan. We're going to move along here, but thank you so much for spending time with us.
Okay.
Congratulations.
Thank you for calling me.
Aww. You bet. Have a great night.
I will now. I'll watch the parade.
Well, yeah, watch it until she'll be on CNN, I bet.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I can't believe it.
It's remarkable.
Thanks, Hazel.
Go Cubbies.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Trudy, I couldn't believe you were translating what she said because she reminded me of my Esther. Who was like in her 80s and she had a stroke.
Uh-huh.
And she'd go, and Uncle Keith would go, she wants over you to pass the peanuts. And I'd be like, how in the fuck can he understand a word she's saying?
He probably hears it all.
Same thing with that. You were translating her, and it's like, why did you get that out of that?
You know, because I developed a skill of understanding people with speech that was slurred by working a lot of Riff Bar nights. So well, they all, you know how when you get drunk they always want to tell you a story and say
oh my god yes
yeah so it's it, well,
I did not hear what she was saying to you. I could not understand it. And you know, wouldn't it have been nice if that lady who called would have said, oh, by the way, she's got a little speech issue, she had a stroke a couple years ago. I mean, it would have been maybe a good idea even to tell us that.
Heads up.
I'll be fine.
She didn't
the
name
hell them. Was that
she did, I mean, name a lot of players, though.
Yeah.
She did
identify players.
She identified...
all from the 30s.
Yeah. Gabby Hartnett. I can't believe she remembers that guy.
Gabby.
That was...
Gabby!
Gabby! He hit the homer in the Gloaming, which was... I guess they were just about to call the game of darkness.
Mm.
And they would have suspended it and played it or continued it the next day, but he hit it like... And people said they couldn't even see the ball, and he hit it out of the park, and the Cubs won.
Oh, cool. The homer and the gloaming.
Yep, that's what they call it.
How poetic.
I swear to God.
Never heard that.
I'm Googling it right now just so I can prove that it's not total bullshit.
But she liked,
why would you make up something that dumb?
She had a range, it's really though. Stupid. She liked that dude all the way up to Rhino. So.
Yeah, because she went from Hack Wilson, which is the 20s. He had 56 home runs, which is still a National League record, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think it is. Luis Gonzalez hit 56 for the Diamondbacks.
1938 was when the homer in the Gloaming happened.
Yeah, the old homer in the Gloaming.
Gabby!
Gabby! Gabby!
The expression was a play on the popular song, Roman in the Gloaming.
Oh.
I did not know that.
And it was used in the lead paragraph of a story written by Earl Hilligan for the Associated Press. See?
I can't believe that lady did not tell... The lady who gave us her phone number... was the most uncaring person. First of all, she completely was bullshitting us about, well, I'll be darned. And then she's totally been screwed us by not mentioning anything about her speech impediment.
She's probably been bothered all day by people.
Well, you didn't ask that. You asked about hearing.
True.
She could hear you fine.
But that might have been a good time to point out that she hears very well. She can't speak for shit. And you won't understand a fucking word she says. So, you know, you're on your own.
September 28th, 1938, reached the bottom of the ninth inning with a score tied 5 runs apiece, with darkness descending on Wrigley Field that did not yet have artificial lighting. Duh!
And the index are going, Gabby Hartnett.
The umpire ruled the ninth inning would certainly be the last to be played. At that time, suspended game rules did not provide for suspending games due to darkness.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, the game would have to be replayed in its entirety the following day.
Oh!
My God!
Prior to the scheduled third game of the series.
Hartnett came to bat.
2 outs in the bottom of the ninth. Count 0-2. Connected on a Mace Brown pitch, launching the ball into the darkness. Before it eventually landed in the left center field bleachers for a game-winning home.
Launched it into the darkness. Wow.
A stadium erupted into pandemonium as the players and fans stormed the field to escort Hartnett to run the bases. So stupid.
I like your old-timey sports guy.
I don't know
if
people talk like
that's
that
how they
anymore.
Talk.
Yep.
They should talk like that.
Who escorted him on the bases? The fans?
Yeah, players and fans. Because the stadium erupted into pandemonium. See?
See?
And what year was that?
38.
Oh, they lost the World Series that year.
38 Cubs.
It put them in first place, though. They won the next day's scheduled game, 10-1 over the Pirates. Hmm. They swept them and clinched the pennant 3 days later.
Does it say if they lost in the World Series? Because I think they did.
I believe Dizzy. The Cubs finished the season with the Pirates 2 games behind. That was the high point of the Cubs season as they were swept in the 1938 World Series by the New York Yankees.
Ah, yes.
By the Highlanders from New York.
I believe. A little addition to that story. In 1934, the Gas House Gang beat the Detroit Tigers in the World Series. The Gas House Gang were a crazy bunch of characters, including Dizzy Dean, Daffy Dean, his brother.
Dizzy pitched in the
38
Roman
for the Cubs.
Yeah.
He did.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, he pitched in that game?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
He did? Uh-huh. What were his stats?
I don't know. All it says is that he was well past his prime.
Yeah, he was. But in 1934, he won 30 games on that crazy Gas House Gang team, and he was the last pitcher to win 30 until Denny McClain in 1968, and no one's done it since. So he's the second last to win 30. And in 35, he was off to an outrageous start. He was like 16-2 or something, and he started the All-Star game for the National League, and a line drive hit him in the foot and broke his toe, and he didn't want to go on the disabled list, so he changed his pitching motion. He had to change his pitching motion to keep pitching, and he hurt his arm by doing that.
Wow.
And destroyed his arm, basically. But he hung on, and in 38, when St. Louis, I think, had finally given up on him, they traded him to the Cubs. And I don't think he played all year, but he went to the Cubs, and I think he won his first 7 games with the Cubs.
Wow.
He was like 7-0, and in fact pitched in a World Series game, and that was the only game I think the Cubs had a chance to win, and somebody hit a monster home run off him in the eighth inning to beat him.
Huh. Which one of them is he, Mark?
I think that was the
Gabby?
End. I think it was the end of Dizzy Dean.
Take those pictures.
Gabby!
I love those old-time pictures. They're so cool.
Is he attractive?
Gabby!
Is that why she remembered him?
I don't know if he's hot.
Not really.
Who's this dude? Augie Galen? Look at the names. Augie. These are all the first names.
Gabby!
Of the Gabby, Ripper, Billy, Stan, Carl, Augie, and Frank.
My mom still can recite the Detroit Tigers lineup in the 1930s. She grew up with that team, and they were really good. I think they were in 3 World Series with Hank Greenberg and
Greenberg.
Who else is on that team? Charlie Gehringer.
Mm-hmm.
And they had some pretty famous guys. But she even remembers the obscure guys.
Who's the pitcher? Hal Newhouser, probably.
Yeah, Hal Newhouser. Yeah, he was on that team. But, I'm still getting texts. Jesus.
Congratulations, texts.
Yes.
Yeah.
Still getting Cubs activity.
Were you worried last night when the game tied?
Very.
Here we go again.
I was very worried. It just seemed so fitting. It seemed that we're going to lose that game. Cleveland got a hit after the home run, too.
Yeah.
The next hitter got a hit. And then after the rain delay, I'm trying to remember, after the rain delay, did he pitch after the rain delay?
No,
he didn't. That's right.
That was the big joke we were coming up with.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
Shaw came back out.
Yeah, that was right. Shaw was still in the game, which was a ludicrous.
Dumb. But Chelios referenced that, and I've only heard that in one other place, the big team meeting that they had.
Yeah.
In the hallway.
Yeah.
Yep.
Fired
right behind
them all
the dugout.
Up. Yeah. So you got to believe Grandpa Rossi led that one, right? Isn't that what they call him, Grandpa Rossi?
I think it was Hayward. I heard.
Was it really?
Yeah, that's what I heard. But I don't know.
Don't you just find it funny, though, they call him Grandpa Rossi?
I know. He's 39.
I know. Bump totally bums me out.
Hey, did you hear about the naked man arrested after attaching electrical wires to his penis?
Totally, yep.
Oh.
Naked man has been arrested after attaching electrical wires to his penis and flashing his genitals to pedestrians from his car. Hmm. Kurt Jenkins, this reminds me, of course, of the story when I was a kid, and I walked out because some guy said, yeah, I need directions.
Oh, yeah.
Well, where are you going? He's like, Elder Beach. And so I walked up to his car, and I said, just go down that street and take a left. And I looked down, and he was had no pants on.
Well, he's going to the beach.
Yeah. And I was like, I think I was about 8 years old at the time.
Oh,
and
no.
And when
really?
I left the car, I went, that man had no pants on. And everybody laughed. And I didn't even think, I just thought, what a crazy man for the longest time.
So
until I flashed back on it like 10 years later. I was like, oh, Jesus.
Gross.
The guy probably pounded off as soon as he drove away.
I mean, did you see his dong and everything?
Yes. He was pantsless.
Was he hard?
I don't think he was hard.
Oh, well, then he was just going to the beach.
I don't think so. No. And he smelled of booze. I remember that, too, that he stunk.
Ew.
Yeah, it was real creepy. He was driving an old station wagon, too.
Oh, God, it's you got know, all the markings.
I remember everything about it, even the smells, his booze-soaked breath.
Oh, God, if you smell that today, you probably get ill.
Ugh.
I don't want to see your wiener.
You just said that.
56, I know, I should have. 56-year-old Kurt Jenkins drove slowly through the gated streets in Boynton Beach, Florida on Monday with an electrical muscle stimulator placed on his genitals.
Oh, yeah, those.
He gestured for a man to approach his car. This is why I was thinking of that incident.
Wait, where's Elder Beach?
And pointed toward his groin before asking him to get in the passenger seat.
Why don't you say get in the passenger seat, then point to your groin?
The man declined. I think he more than declined. I think I'll pass on that. And phoned police after photographing Jenkins sitting in the driver's seat with his seatbelt fastened and the device stuck to his penis. So he took a picture.
He had a TEMS unit.
I'm surprised the guy didn't get out and demand his phone. Oh, wait. Wait, is this the picture? Fuck, yep. It is.
It is?
Yep.
Oh, they blocked his wiener.
What?
How big of a block is it? Not the biggest
block I've ever seen.
Oh, you're right.
Like the Redskins coach?
Oh, my God.
Yes.
What? Check it out. It looks like a tiny piece of electrical tape.
Yes, very small.
Why is it so far offset?
Of course, the guy does have electrodes attached to his wiener.
You're right. It is offset. It is weird how some of those pixelations.
Yes.
You know, like, skew
very
the anatomy.
Strange.
Yeah.
But he was.
Kurt Jenkins.
Yeah, nice going, Kurt.
Oh, yikes. Yeah.
That's him. Yeah, he resisted arrest and got the shit beat out of him. So he's got black eyes in his mugshot.
Oh.
Idiot.
Good for those Boynton Beach cops.
He had placed the pads on his penis and had the controller sitting next to his gear stick. He declined the invitation to get in the car, phoned police, but was able to get a photograph of him first. The victim advised he observed a naked man driving a white four-door Toyota slowly through his neighborhood.
Observed. He's studying it.
And then, yeah, police came and immediately arrested him. The other weird story was the front page of the Free Press today about the prison inmate who is suing some counselor for making him a sex slave.
No.
Yeah.
Oh.
And
exciting.
The interesting thing about his life as a sex slave is that, well, someone saw them having sex, I guess, through a glass office window. She was bent over a chair.
You have sex in a glass office?
Yeah, I know. It's pretty smart.
Not very smart. Mm.
Well, that's what Trump said about the People magazine writer, remember? There's glass walls.
Yeah, so how could you possibly do anything? You can't do anything behind glass. Nobody can sexually assault someone behind glass. It's impossible.
Someone's always looking through a glass wall.
So anyway, the thing about it is this chick got pregnant. The counselor got pregnant by the guy, which means he was hard.
Well,
blew up.
He's a guy.
I mean, does that sound like a tortured sex slave, though, that got her pregnant?
It's biology, my man.
I don't know. Sounds like he was into it. And here's the.
I know. Couldn't he pull off?
The even stranger part is, well, does he really give a
it's
fuck?
It's prison,
even
isn't
prison?
It?
Prison.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Probably never thought she'd get pregnant.
She was taking fertility pills.
What?
She was trying to get pregnant.
She needed to get knocked up by a prisoner?
And she's not bad looking. But he's claiming. He's a normal looking guy, too. I mean, it's weird. It's like. Does this look like the couple you pictured?
You mean like a nice family.
I pictured some gross fat ass.
Right.
For just her. Figured some prisoner who has no way to get a chick in a million years.
Yeah.
He does look a little frightened, you know? There's a little.
Well, see, yeah, he was a sex slave.
Frightened animal thing.
He was abused.
I have a funny feeling that he was a willing participant.
It was consensual.
I'm just taking a wild guess here.
Well, that's what I was saying about him not being able to pull out.
So does she go to prison now? She gets her.
That's the irony. She goes to prison and he's released.
Yeah, I don't know if they're buying his charge, but anyway.
So did she have the kid?
I think she did, yeah, because unless she's still pregnant. No, I think she had the kid.
Can you imagine telling your kid how they came to be?
No, that's awful.
From that.
Well, this guy could get out and be the father. They can get married and live happily ever after, right?
Sure.
Very likely.
See what he's in there for.
You are the father.
Of course, he's suing for making him a sex slave.
That baby is ugly.
He's suing for getting laid while in prison.
I know.
That's really what's happening
here. He's so not going to win this case.
No.
Claims she raped him at her whim and was desperately wishing to conceive a child. Also claims she began fertility treatment after they met.
With every pump, he's like, no, stop doing this to me.
Oh, this guy was arrested for operating a meth lab.
What? Really? Cool.
As part of his sentence, he was.
There you go, buddy.
He's received
an entrepreneur.
Is this good at chemistry?
Yeah, obviously, yeah. There's thought to have started their sexual relationship the following year after he was put in. He claims he was taken advantage of by the woman and not protected by the Department of Corrections. Protected. Which allowed him to be raped.
Wow.
Of course, we know the guy blew up big time.
Multiple times. She just didn't get pregnant on the first one.
See, we've hit the hour mark. We better knock it out here. Some people have to be up in the morning, like Trudy from WCSX 94.7, 6 to 10 a.m. Thank you, Trudy.
Oh, hey. Good to be along.
What's going on Classic Rock tomorrow?
We are going to discuss the controversy of people think you should stop wearing jeans at 53.
Oh.
According to a survey. And I think...
Wait, stop wearing jeans at 53?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't even see the story.
Yeah, it was a European story, right?
Yeah, it's a stupid survey. And another fashion commentary from people who say, people need to stop wearing it at a certain age.
No.
You age out of the ability to wear jeans and look.
Well, how about the fact that...
I think older guys in jeans isn't a bad look.
How about the fact that... Do you think people over 53 are trying to look that hot that maybe they're just wearing jeans out of comfort?
Exactly. Right. No, that's the way I look at it. When I see an older person in jeans, I tend to think they look comfortable.
My pops wears jeans.
And they look fairly, they look kind of with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. What the fuck are we supposed to wear?
Sweats.
No, it's a good question.
Sweats.
Pants, regular pants.
Can't wear yoga pants.
Uncomfortable pants.
Just put a burka on and be done with it. We have to see.
Well, maybe we should all wear caftans. Have you seen Homer when he got really fat?
Yes.
Have you seen the caftans? Yeah, Homer when he gained the weight to become disabled.
Yeah,
I love that episode.
But he couldn't dial. He needed a dialing wand.
That was so awesome. His fingers were too fat.
He got that little toy to do his work for him.
Oh, yeah.
Y-E-S. And then he realized he only had to press Y. Y-E-S.
Did you guys see the story about the father-son Cub fans?
Oh, yeah, that's terrible.
I'll just wrap with this. It's a sad story, but it is Cubs, and Cubs need to be put to bed.
Wait, is this the guy that went?
His father had cancer.
Yeah.
And the father grew up in Detroit, but for some reason he was a Cubs fan, and they moved to Chicago for a while, and so the kid went to Wrigley Field a lot as a kid, and the father always maintained his love of the Cubs. And so anyway, they moved to Nashville. The kid went down there. The son, who's not like I was thinking the kid is like 15 when I first read his story.
Price Jr.'s age.
JP Jr., exactly. But no, the kid's like in his 30s. He took time off to go down to watch the World Series with his father, who was given a month to live at the beginning of October. And they thought he'd make it for the World Series if the Cubs could just get there. And sure enough, the Cubs made it.
Wow.
And they're watching the first game of the World Series together. And it's just, this lifelong dream of his to see the Cubs win it. 72 years old. But he died after game 5.
Oh, God.
Sadly. Aww. Yeah, it was a bummer. And they got it's kind of cool. He went to Cass Tech, the father did.
Mm-hmm.
Got a picture of him running hurdles in at Cass Tech. He was apparently a big sprinter.
Oh, wow.
Look at that.
Holy crap.
That was
he's
pretty cool
clearing
picture.
It by a mile.
There was another, it's like I said, the internet is just full of videos of old people celebrating for the Cubs. There was one where this old man's sitting at a Buffalo Wild Wings watching the game, and someone's filming, and his son, who, you know, is an older person, an older gentleman, walked in and, like, flew into Chicago to surprise his dad.
Aww. Oh, wow.
It's just, I don't know, it was kind of touching. Then there was the guy that went to his dad's gravesite and listened to the game on the radio.
Oh, that's kind of macabre.
That's kind of what that means, though. That is a such a solitary event. And it almost happened on your birthday, so I think it's like the Cubs' gift to you.
Couldn't you be like, soul of dad, come with me to the game?
Well, you know, I mean, his heart is kind of with that moment.
I understand.
What am I trying to translate that? I don't know.
Well, it would have been nice if he could have made it.
Dude's crazy.
Made it through game seven, but.
Oh, no, I was talking about the other story, not that one.
Yeah, no, I know.
No, that's just that.
That one sucks.
That's a sweet story, though, that he got that many games.
Yeah, actually, well, the story about the father and the son is a nice story. I mean, they were obviously really close, but the Cubs were their true mutual love was the Cubs. Hmm. And they came through, so anyway, the kid's happy, and they, of course, believe the father saw the game somehow on the big screen in heaven.
DirecTV.
That giant TV in heaven.
There were so many memes and stuff. You saw the one, the Harbaugh meme.
Well, the Cubs?
Cubs down 3-1, and then this guy showed up. Harbaugh showed up for games 5. He showed up at game 5, and then they won 5, 6, and 7.
Did a lot of people
at some point, these boys say, I'm done.
Did a lot of people get married like from meeting each other at Cubs games or something like that? Why didn't they didn't really focus
there,
on
there was games? One couple that got married after they met at the Bartman game. I think I was telling you about that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right.
Because after Bartman happened, they said everybody in their row went to gawk at, you know, everybody throwing stuff at Bartman.
Like
so they were left behind. And they didn't have a date for 6 months. Took them 6 months to get the first date.
Jeez. What took so
slow
long?
Down, dude.
Was she waiting for him?
I don't know. It was really, they left a lot out of that part. He basically tracked her down and found her email and emailed her. So I think she thought it was a stalker.
Wow. That is a long story, but quite well told.
Weirdo. All right. We're wrapping. Don't forget the chili cook-off Saturday in Royal Oak at the zoo. It's $10 to get into the zoo, but you're into the zoo. And then you have to pay another $10 for the first responders at the actual cook-off. And I don't think there's much more to tell except they got three bands and all kinds of chili and coney dogs. And they do have a cash bar.
See the animals.
Yeah, see the animals while you're at it. Bring the kids. And that's about it. Cool. So we'll catch you next time. See ya!